This episode of the Hard Drive DL is brought to you by our friends at Napa Auto Parts. Conquer the job with Napa know-how.
You're listening to Hard Drive DL, available at harddriveradio.com or download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app.
Hey everybody, Paulie here from Hard Drive Radio. Delighted to be joined in the studio right now by Jesse, Brian, and Matt from 10 Years. Guys, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having us, man. We always like coming in here.
Anytime.
I immediately talked over you.
Matt, get in the corner.
I'll be quiet.
It's all good. No, I am so psyched to have you guys in here right now because I think it's been, almost 4 years since the last album. And I was afraid because when I started doing the research for this album, I guess I missed all these presses that apparently From Birth to Burial was supposed to be the last album.
Kind of. It never came out and said it, but it definitely made everyone, it put the idea or the notion out. And really, the truth of the matter is, these guys were gone, and I was only left with one other original band member, Tater. And Kyle and Chad, who are in the other room, they've been with us for a long time, but these are the guys I write with right here, and always written with them. And I just got to a point where it was like, if everybody's going to keep being pulled away or dropping off for home life and stuff, how long can this keep going? And that was I sort of just wore that on my sleeve on that record. And then when these guys came back, and this has been almost like a rebirth or a new beginning, because all five of us collectively just worked together for the first time, and it feels like since the beginning, really.
The vibe is right. It feels good. I mean, Matt and I have been playing guitars together since we were 14.
Skipping
school, playing guitars, and you know, I said this in the last interview that we did, but Matt and I, we communicate the best without saying a word, but when we sit there and we play music together, you know, that something happens. We can be in a room together without instruments and just sit in silence for hours. This is no joke, but if we have guitars, something happens. And honestly, that record happened.
Which is odd because we have completely different styles of guitar playing.
Completely different, but I think that's...
But they're complimentary.
You complete me.
Matt, tell me how you knew, you know, it was time to get back to 10 years and get back to what you do best.
Oh, man, have you ever worked a day job? It's awful. 9 to 5 is not for me. Me and Jesse were kind of working on some music on the side, and I think at some point it's like, dude, why are we trying to do this? Why don't you just come back and play with the band? And I was like, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, it took...
bad idea.
It actually took some finagling. He was like, man,
I really just wanted to make you...
Squirm a little, yeah.
It's like, I've been sitting here for 9 years doing nothing.
And you're going to come back now? Now you're going to ask
now,
me?
Now, I'm old, I'm gray. I'm going to get back in shape.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding, I'm never going to get back in shape.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Brian, how about you?
So I produced the From Birth to Burial record, so we did that at my spot in Knoxville.
I'm going to talk over you, too, because you didn't just produce it. That was really... It was he and I shut off in a room, and we were the two that wrote the whole record. And it was just, that's where, it was like it had a sad tone to it, because I was like, yeah, if this is it and he's not going to tour anymore and this is the last thing we're doing, then let's just get dark and talk about it. And so,
well,
it
was just a matter of, at that point in the band, it was toxic and unhealthy, and I wasn't happy. I was on stage every night listening to our performance and being like, what are we even doing? I mean, I could hear that it was not great.
Yeah.
And it was really frustrating because I'm a perfectionist and I want everybody to be, you know, like just on a game, and we just weren't. So when we were making that record, it was weird. I mean, I don't know. We didn't know the future, but certainly, you know, even calling it From Birth to Burial, it was like, okay, so this is probably it. But now the whole dynamic has changed. We made the appropriate lineup changes that needed to happen. And with Matt and I back again, it's, and aside from just Matt and I, having Kyle Mayer and Chad Huff in the fold as well, when we started writing for this album, it was the first time pretty much in the band's history since when we used to be writing, when we wrote the Autumn Effect, basically, it was the first time we were in a room together throwing ideas around and actually doing it as a group. And I totally welcomed it, because the last record I played every instrument, produced it and mixed it, and that's too much. Like, I had no perspective anymore. I was just drowning in it, you know? this time around, it was like...
You also don't ever let things go. He'll sit there and just tinker with it forever. So I'm sure at some point you had to be like, all right, there's 1,000 tracks. It has to go.
Yeah. Oh, I drive myself nuts. So having... fast forward to How to Live as Ghosts, we're writing that collectively as a band. And then enter Nick Raskulinics, who, let me tell you, is not afraid to tell us if we suck or not. He,
he did a lot.
Yeah, he, I mean, which, you know, we have the tendency to overthink so much, and he didn't allow that. So it was awesome.
I mean, this is your first time working with Nick, I believe, right?
Yeah.
So
yes.
I guess it's good to have that kind of outside perspective to maybe help you guys keep a little more focused in your writing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was really good at coming in and just...
cutting the fat off of it.
Yeah, like he would pick a song where we thought it was a bridge or an interlude or something, and he'd go, "That's your chorus." He said, "This isn't this bridge or this extra part." We spent all this time, and we get demo-itis, getting married to this idea, and then he just rips it up and goes, "Nope, it's like this."
Well, the thing I give him a lot of credit for is that from day one, I mean, from our first meeting with him, before we were even actually working with him, it was just the obligatory, you know, let's go hang for a couple hours and see how we vibe. He had the vision for this record from that day before we played a note for him. He wanted us to be more deliberate, a little bit more abbreviated, and he wanted the production to be leaner than we usually. I mean, Jesse and I especially will go overboard on vocal layering. Effects and he was like, this record is going to be a straightforward, in your face, you know, this is what the band should sound like live. This is you guys.
Yeah, I think that's what he was really trying to do, is to capture how we sound live, because a lot of those, like when we get into a lot of those textures and stuff, we're huge fans of all types of music, like Radiohead and all this stuff that's very ethereal and spacey, and live we're rock, you know. So he was like, I want to make a record that represents you guys live, kind of.
So when you guys started writing for this album, had you already met with Nick and you were already collaborating, or did you guys already had time in a room together and you started hashing out ideas and then you brought Nick on board?
We already had, we probably wrote for this thing for 8 months. We had a whole bunch of ideas before we ever got to actually meet Nick, so we could actually take some of the demos with us and go through them the first time we got to meet him. And he's like... you know, like I said, he just wanted to chop stuff up. He's like, that one's crap. You know, move stuff around.
There's your great part right here. Like, really?
It sounds like it was excruciating, but it is really nice, because when you're in the middle of it, it's very hard to see outside of it, and you get very personal with it. And he's like, yeah.
Especially vocals. Jesse, you know, because Jesse takes all this time to plan a story, and every word counts, right? And Nick wasn't afraid to say, this word is going, this word's trash, that word sucks, and then all of a sudden there's all of these little holes in the story that he spent all that time putting together. So it was, I think it was most challenging for Jesse. I loved it personally. I had a blast.
Do you know what the trick is? Be the guitar player, because when he's picking vocals apart, he just puts you in the other room and you get to do whatever you want.
Yeah, you did. You had free reign.
Nobody was paying any attention to what I was doing.
You
was
just like, got to be
I'll just
Matt.
Paint all over this over here. No one's even looking.
Yeah, it was. And I know, I mean, I knew that whenever, anytime you work with a big producer, they get more involved in what you're doing. But for me, I drive myself crazy getting into my own head and my own, just where I'm at as a person at the time, and trying to write a story. And sometimes when they go, I don't like the word vampire, I don't like the word tomb, I'm going, you're not looking at the big picture here. So yeah, we butted heads and stuff, but... after I could, it takes a long time for me to let it go, but after I let go of it and come back, I'm like, yeah, the record, it's a great record.
So were there were absolutely times where you're kind of angry at him and just like,
100%, yes, yes.
Angry at each other, those two.
Well,
yes.
I think the word frustrated would be more appropriate. I love the guy. He was always really good spirits. He was never a negative energy, but he would challenge you to not do your tendencies. He's just like, well, you've done that. You've already done that on that last record, so let's do something different.
So would you work with him again?
Yeah.
Cool.
Maybe.
I would love to.
Ryan, actually, I think you have like a weird connection with Nick, right? Did you guys like, I read that you guys
So it's not even that we didn't know each other prior to making the record, but we discovered that, because we knew that we went to the same high school. He's like 12 or 13 years older than I am, but... on, I grew up on a street called Fox Lonis Road in Knoxville, Tennessee. And on that exact same street was Brian Bell from Weezer and Nick Rasculenix. And Nick and I went to the same high school. So did Brian. And then Nick and I also worked at the same Mexican restaurant in Knoxville.
Which is delicious, by the way.
Which is amazing. Fast forward a little bit, and Brian Bell and Weezer recorded a record at Sound City in L.A., and Brian called Nick and said, "Hey, dude, I know you want to be in studio work. I heard they're looking for a runner. You should go apply." And so Nick went and applied. I think it was like on a Friday or something, and he got the gig, but here's the catch. He didn't even have a car. He was the runner, but he didn't have a car. So he called the guy who owns the Mexican restaurant that we worked at, and that guy gave him a loan to get a car. And so Brian Bell, the Mexican restaurant, the whole thing is very intertwined and interesting. But so, yeah, I grew up on the same street as those guys. Didn't know them, but, you know, it's pretty neat.
That's amazing. It's like some 6 degrees of separation stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Incredible. Let's talk about some of the songs on the album. The single right now is Novocaine. I'm digging it. A lot of people are digging it, clearly.
Yeah.
Because you guys are getting a lot of airplay right now, which is awesome.
Tell
me a little bit about what went into creating that song and the parts that you put into that to kind of make it what it is.
That was actually a Chad Huff idea.
Yes, it
was. To begin with, all that bass stuff. It was all kind of built around that, you know, kind of funky verse bass line, and then I think it was one of the last songs we wrote before we left Knoxville.
Mm-hmm.
It was the last demo created in Knoxville. And, yeah, Chad just had this random riff, and he was like, he didn't even think that we would like it. And he was
To be fair, I heard him working on it for, like, months and just kept ignoring it.
Yeah.
I was like, I didn't see it working as a rock song.
Yeah, we had a rough kind of layout for it. And then before we left to go to Nashville to meet Nick, Jesse came over, and we were going to try and, you know, come up with lay some vocals down for it. And we ended up taking kind of the rough layout that we had of music and chopping it up a little bit and tweaking some things to fit your vocal, really. And then,
yeah. I remember we shortened the verses. We changed it around because I was sitting and writing to the, just like a verse and a chorus, a piece of music they tracked for just a demo on. And I'm just sitting in my room looping on it, just writing melodies and stuff, and the lyrical content comes almost from, like, the, you know, the idea of being desensitized from just repetition of life, and that sort of ties into the way the music video is the way it is. So I felt like people could relate to that, because so many times I feel like, man, I'm just kind of numb sometimes, and it's, you know, you just wear it on your sleeve and talk about it. But, like, when we went back to take it back to them, it wasn't fitting that form of the music at the, so we like cut the verse, and then all we showed Nick was like a verse and a chorus. We didn't even have a full song.
Yeah, we wrote the bridge on the spot with him in the room air guitaring.
You do that. No, you do that. Yeah, okay, that's it.
Nick has the best air instrumentation skills. Oh, man, literally we'd be, because he had a setup in a room to do pre-production, and we're all playing in a room and jamming, and he's right in the middle of us, like almost like moshing with us as we're playing, and he's got like a drumstick, and he like plays guitar on the drumstick and then uses it as a microphone and a bass. It's unbelievable. It's awesome.
He just purely loves music like I did when I was like 12.
Oh, yeah, he's like a 12-year-old one-man air drumming man, like band.
But he just truly loves it, and that's what's so good about him, is he's like, he gets right in the middle of it, just loves music.
I can see, like, that's probably an energy that was a big part of making this album happen, to have that kind of raw enthusiasm.
Yeah, just watch his
literally in the center of you. Yeah. It's got to be, you know, one of the a fantastic driving force.
Yeah.
One of the things that kind of surprised me about Novocaine was just the wordplay in and of itself. And I mean, you know, 10-year-olds is, I like to think, a very cerebral kind of band,
yeah,
you know, as far as all the music goes. But I remember when I'm grabbing it to hear it for the first time and I see the title, I'm like, that's spelled wrong. That's not how Novocaine is spelled.
Yeah.
And then I hear the chorus, I'm like, oh, I get it. Supernova.
Oh,
man,
yeah. That's,
We didn't realize it was spelled wrong first.
Well, I knew that I
didn't.
I was, because we were debating on whether to put like the super hyphenated or something, but like, and call it Supernovocaine. But yeah, I have fun playing around with the words.
The misspelling is definitely deliberate.
Yeah,
we just because I mean, there's so many ways to take the theme and the meaning of the song. So you know, some people numb themselves quite literally. So. Yeah.
Oh, the chorus. There's like kids on the chorus. Who are the kids?
Nick's kids.
No way.
Yeah, like they came in and he wore them out too. He had them in there for like an hour, just wearing them out. Like again, not good enough. Again, just like cracking the whip on them.
Yeah,
they were very shy. They wouldn't let us in there while they were doing it.
Yeah,
just him and his little kids.
That's gonna be your Pink Floyd The Wall moment. Like, you know, yeah. 20 years, track them down, be like, remember singing on my record? And they're gonna be like, who are you?
Where are they now? Where are they now?
You mentioned the video, Jesse. Tell me a little bit about what went into making that, because it's really cool.
Well, you know, we've done a bunch of performance videos and sort of typical rock music videos, and I love the idea of making a short film. And we had a bunch of treatments submitted to us, and they were just way off. They were very typical cliche, and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna give it a go and actually just write my vision of this thing. And I really based it off of like a dark drama version of like Groundhog Day or a couple other movies that are like that, or like On the Edge of Tomorrow or Source Code. And it's this guy, it pretty much gets into this day in the life of this guy that seems to have a, you know, a great job, nice car. I mean, he seems to have everything he wants, like materialistically, but like he's just in a hamster wheel, just on loop, and he's starting to just come unglued because he's realizing that he's losing his life one second at a time on just to get all this stuff he doesn't need. And then he wakes up and is in the big office, and it's all just a psychedelic dream, I guess.
And I definitely noticed there was a cameo in the video. Oh, like, yeah, you're on the skateboard going by.
Well, they were trying to get us, they wanted to cut a performance into it, and we were like, absolutely not, because the song is not even 3 minutes long. It's like 2:45.
How do you tell a story with
and
leftover?
They tried
50 seconds,
but it was just like, just let us do this, and we'll get through it. And after it's all said and done, it exceeds all of my expectations. We did that like pretty much on a shoestring budget in our hometown. The actor was Matt's roommate. Like, the car was mine. Like, all this stuff was just borrowed, and we were filming in places where we didn't have permits. Like, it was...
Yeah. Totally guerrilla.
Yeah, all the way.
Except for the office. We did have to get permission for that.
Yeah.
Was that, like, somebody's office?
It was my mother-in-law's office, yeah. And this thing was made out of, like, a big, huge industrial, like, used to be a train building, but she worked for the University of UT, University of Tennessee, and, we were looking for all these little offices, and everything was low ceilings with these, and we wanted this big, expansive shot pulling away from this guy.
Just like a big feeling of isolation, like it's got to be something.
Yeah, you see the vastness of how many people have the exact same life he has, you know.
Did you use any, like, drones for those shots?
Definitely, yeah, that's the drone shot, yeah. Love it,
also
too.
Also unpermitted.
Oh, yeah. They didn't know that. We didn't tell them we were going to be flying helicopters in their office.
They don't know. We'll hurt.
You know, you have to actually get a license to, like, if you make any money off of using a drone, you have to get a license for it.
I did not know that.
I found that out like the other day, because I got a friend who started like a company where he like does like home like stuff for realties and flies, and you actually have to get a license.
Well, I mean, you think about how easy invasion of privacy.
Yeah, well, not only that, but like you start getting into airspace and stuff, you actually have to know like the traffic control stuff and all that crazy thing.
Wow.
I know you can't fly drones near airports. They get real pissy about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say.
One of the other song that everyone has heard so far, because while we're talking, the album isn't out yet. It might be out by the time people hear this.
Yeah.
But the other song that people have heard from the album so far is Burnout. Tell me what went into making that song.
Well,
guitars, bass, drums,
vocals.
Oh, very nice.
Ding, pick it up. No.
Well, we had a piece of music that I believe it was a riff that Matt had started with, and we turned it into a song, and then it kind of evolved. We kind of changed some parts around, combined parts from other songs that didn't quite make the cut, one of those things. And then we realized that we wrote it in a key and had a really good vocal melody that's impossible for a male to sing.
It was so much higher, and he had the melody, and I had these lyrics to it. I was like, oh, this is really cool, and I was just humming it like, and he's like, that's cool, right? And then when we go in there to actually track it, I mean, I have to be like a castrato to even hit those notes, and it's like, there's no way we could pull this off. So
we transposed it down. We switched keys, and it evolved once again. And then it worked, basically. So, yeah. And then, really, it's a song about missed opportunity, about having everything in life in the palm of your hand, and then it slips away.
Just not even noticing, not even acknowledging it. Like
making just no effort to keep it together
at
all.
It's like... the line "You burn out so bright, but you never saw the light" it sums it up. That's it. It's like you had everything you ever wanted, and you didn't even didn't even see it.
You're so oblivious, thinking you're on top of the world. You're not realizing all your pieces are
these
just
are your moments
falling out of your bag while you're walking out.
You know? This isn't directed at anybody, is it?
No, never.
We wouldn't do anything like that.
Never.
All right. The other song that I got to hear for the first time today is Phantoms. You guys played that for us in the acoustic studio before. It was awesome. Tell everybody a little bit about Phantoms.
How did Phantoms come about originally? Like
he had the gospel chorus.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, so originally, see, we wrote the vast majority of the record all together in a room. But for whatever reason, I was strumming an acoustic guitar and had this vocal melody in my head. So I did a little, you know, iPhone voice recorder version, and I sent it to the guys, and they were like, no, that sounds like church music. Not a chance.
Yeah.
No, not going to happen. And then, I don't know, all of a sudden it's on the record. I don't know what happened.
Well, I mean, I think the music, when the music comes into play, and that's the other thing that I feel like really helped on this record is we're all very critical and picky, so... we just send it down the line to where if we're all pleased with it and the end result, then it's going to be a good song because we're all nitpicking the hell out of it. So that song is definitely one of those where it could have been an idea we didn't like, but by the end of it, with everybody putting their twist on it, there it is.
Yeah, I had definitely had to take those chords and make like super weird dissonant chords to match it to like darken it up somehow, because if you just played at root notes, it was very...
worship and trip praise,
yeah. But that's why we have that sound. We have a sound, the band does, because the sum of all parts, everyone put together, creates this thing that I don't create on my own, and he doesn't. You know, the other guys don't. And so that's the cool thing. But and then one of my favorite lines that Jesse says in that song is, "What do you say on the breakdown, the last chorus?"
We're lost in the space between who we are and all that we're trying to be.
And I have personally felt that for a long time, that I totally relate with that line.
Well, that was originally, Matt's really good at, like, I'll get in my own head and I'll have just scribbled pages and all this just look like a mad scientist. And Matt will come in and just proofread and go, that's your cool spot, that's your cool spot. I get what you're trying to say, but there's a cooler way to say it.
Cut the preposition, too many syllables.
Yeah, so... yeah, just like a proofreader. And with that song in particular, we were working on the chorus, and that line was actually the alternate to be the main line that was repeated over and over. But Nick liked the imagery that the original line painted and said that line by itself really, like, it's the curveball that sums the whole thing up, because the song's about searching for your own true identity with yourself, not your accomplishments, not the money in the bank, not... the people that love you, but at the end of the day, who you are. And that's kind of a great way to...
Yeah. I think that was a very personal line to me that I just kept the meaning to it myself.
Yeah.
It matched what your thought process was.
I'm really getting some insight here. Like, watching the three of you guys in the studio right now talking about the songs, I really get a sense of the dynamic that you have writing together.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, you had to have missed this.
Yeah, I did. And I mean... that's where, going back from, talked about From Birth to Burial, I on my own, I like all the weird lyrics that you don't know what I'm talking about and the stuff that you're like, he's painting a bunch of really cool imagery, but like, that's just my style and my tendency. Being straightforward is difficult for me. So they're really good, like Lennon and McCartney or something, like a good balance of just the opposites. And, it got to some point where I was just, if it's all on, just like you said, Brian, if you have to do everything, play all the instruments, do it all, you're so inside of it, you're like, this is fun, I love the creative process, but you can't get a true perspective. It's good when everybody that's close to you that you value as a musician anyway can put it in and like really,
By the end of the From Birth to Burial album, this was these two phrases were the most commonly said phrases between Jesse and myself. One, is this even any good? And two, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm glad you came back because at the end of that tour cycle and I had come back, I was like, shit, I'm going to have to write this whole record myself.
Yeah. You know, and I knew that these, it was kind of all just, it was all kind of like hoping that what we had would come back. And it was timing. It was the right time. I don't know that it would have happened years earlier. I think it just, the time came about and everything fell into place.
Does it feel like it did, like the early days?
Yeah, it feels,
it really does.
It does. I mean, we can actually, we hang out and we enjoy it instead of like that tension in the room.
I feel like I'm 17 again, just have hair in strange places now.
I don't know that I feel like 17.
It just feels like there's a momentum again, you know, and a positive energy that's just like, I don't think we're even trying anymore. We're just on this wave that's moving, which is exactly how it felt the first time, you know, like, you know, Autumn Effect era, everything started going.
I mean, you look like you're having fun in here, so I'm just hoping it's like, just if they're having half as fun on the stage as you are in here, I'm like, this is going to be a great show.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see you guys on Saturday, man. It's going to awesome. Be freaking awesome. The title of the album is How to Live as Ghosts. Where did that come from?
Well, I inadvertently started this pretty much on our sophomore record. Like, the Autumn Effect was based off of a weird trippy dream I had that ended up turning into lyrics and artwork and all this stuff. Division came about because it was talking about where we were at the time. We had success. And then the industries just kind of can pull you apart. And then Feeding the Wolves was feeling like that our creativity and our ability to have our own voice was being completely stifled. And then Minus the Machine is when we got away from a major label so we could just get lost in the creativity again. And then From Birth to Burial felt that end. So the How to Live as Ghosts, it was really tricky to figure out what to name this thing. And I had this line... It takes dying to know how to live as a ghost. And that's a line from the song Ghosts inside of it. And that was originally the line that always stuck with me because it does. It takes dying to know how to live as a ghost. So it's like it's an evolution, it's a progression, it's a rebirth. And I feel like it all applies to where we're at right now.
We died in the last chapter or the last record. That was the last chapter of that book. Now, How to Live as Ghosts is the continuation of that, but a fresh new beginning.
Yeah, a freeness to it instead of like this weight of embodiment.
Instead of being, you know, resurrected in the same spot, you're free to kind of rise above it and do something different.
Yeah, and see it in a completely different perspective,
That's freaking awesome. During the creation of this album, you guys had a Pledge Music campaign, which a lot more artists are using. Tell me a little bit about your experiences with it, because... You know, for people who are listening who don't know what Pledge Music is, it's an online platform that people can use to pre-order the album and order, you know, put in extra money for other prizes and things as well. But it also kind of gets you a lot of behind-the-scenes looks. So for you guys as musicians, you already have your hands full writing a new record. Was it fun to kind of, like, get that level of fan interaction as well, or was it difficult to kind of, like, feed that extra channel?
It's a little of both. I mean, it's more work, but... This day and age, you have to work harder. You have to, I mean, with all the social media and stuff, the ways of the old where you just stay ambiguous and mysterious and don't do anything, like Tool is the only ones left that can do that, you know? I mean, no one can do that. So this allowed us to give a little of the inside out, like, to the people, but also offer up different things. Like, I do artwork on drum heads. I think there was, like, some gear that we used through many different tours. There's all these different things that fans can go through that we put out there to offer for them, because to us, we're just doing this thing over here, but we're trying to include them into our world with all that.
And it's such a digital world now that by, you know, if someone has the ability or the opportunity to get something that's tangible they can hold in their hand, like here is a lyric sheet handmade by Jesse or something like that. I mean, you know, for us growing up, I couldn't wait to get my allowance to go and buy a CD and open up the artwork and feel that physical thing. And this is another opportunity to you know, introduce that to our fans and have something that's different and unique for them.
Actually, talking about the artwork for the album, tell me, you know, did you have did you have a big hand in creating the artwork for the album, or something else?
I mean, I always get pretty involved, but a couple of them, like the last one, it was hand-drawn by me, and then the one from Feeding the Wolves was, but like, sometimes it's like, back to the Brian thing, where it's cool to just to let go and let somebody else do it. You just give them your ideas and give them direction, but I wanted this to be lighter feeling, and I was stumbling across a bunch of different like photography stuff just on Instagram and finding double exposures and the airiness of almost like those ghostly images where it's like an image within an image, and we worked with some people and I feel like that they really knocked it out of the park.
It took a long time.
Well, I mean, you know, great art takes time, right?
Yes.
Look how long it took you guys to make this record.
Yeah,
a long time.
Well worth the wait, though. Absolutely. You're on the road right now with Red. How are things going?
Pretty good. We just started up. We did a hometown show, two shows with Otherwise, and actually where we're at right now, currently, we will start up with Red and the whole package tomorrow is the first of the tour, but we're really excited because we feel like it's a strong package.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm a big fan of the guys and Otherwise too. I think they're great folks, so yes, I'm happy to see them on the road. And I think you guys are also playing some shows with Chevelle as well, which is freaking awesome.
Yeah, on the very end of November through, well, a little over halfway through December.
Yeah.
That'll be a lot of fun.
I think, that's a good fit. 10 years in Chevelle, it's a very good fit.
We've known those guys for a while, and it just seems like our album cycles have always been off. As soon as we come off to write a new one, theirs comes out. And I remember running into Sam, the drummer, and he's like, we got to do a real tour because the most we've ever done is like a week or two ever with them. So they made it happen. They just said, hey, guys, here's what we got to offer. Are you available? We're like, yeah, we're available. So super excited about that.
The hometown shows are always really important for you guys, and I feel like it's a big part of, you know, what makes 10 years – the band that you are is that you're really connected to Knoxville and the area that you guys are from. Tell me a little bit about, you know, playing these all important hometown shows.
Lots of family and friends and guest list requests and stress. Nerves.
It is a lot of fun because the crowds are awesome and they obviously have as much extra love for us as we do for them, but it can be a headache because especially when you're, you know, we just left town and we're not going home for a month. So you're like, trying to rehearse and then pack and see family and wives and kids and everyone's calling you and texting you and you're like, you just start getting stretched in so many directions. You're like, I'm gonna kill someone probably.
Yeah. But I'll tell you though, there was a moment on stage the other night where we were playing and people were singing Wasteland and they sing it with a little bit more oomph in Knoxville sometimes. And I was getting choked up, you know, just because it's like, man, that's why we do this. When we were young, when Matt and I were 14 playing guitar, that is what we wanted. That's what we were working towards. And it's kind of trippy to be up there and have it, you know?
There's definitely hometown pride. They've stuck with us and given us hometown pride since the beginning. And you can't buy that.
You can't beat it either.
Yeah, you can't buy that. I mean, it's just we earned it, and they gave it to us, and we're appreciative of it.
Is there a stop on this upcoming tour that you guys are really looking forward to?
Man,
this comes back to the like whole trying to get out of town and being so busy. It's like I don't even know where we're going yet.
Yeah, I mean,
I haven't stopped
busy to
look. Be like, oh, do I have friends somewhere? Are we going somewhere that I really enjoy? I don't even know.
House of Blues Chicago with Chevelle. I'm actually really excited about that because. Well, first off, Chicago was like the other market for this band when we first started. We did really well in Knoxville, and then somehow Chicago became like we were going up there all the time.
Yeah, weren't even signed.
Yeah, we weren't even signed. And so that House of Blues there during the Autumn Effect tour cycle, we hit that so many times and lots of memories. So
Yeah,
that will be a good one.
Beautiful. You guys are pulling from 8 albums of material now for your sets. How much do you like to change up your set list? Is there always like a stable of songs? I mean, yeah, you got to play the hits.
Well, at this point, there's like 5 or 6 that always have to be played. So
yeah, so it's very difficult to come up with a set. But what we've we're kind of proud of that we did this time around is there's the usual suspects in there, but we tried to do the opposite to fill all the other holes, and that was like really pull some stuff out that we haven't played in a while. So
or at all,
or even played at all. So a lot of the stuff for the true fans that are like the album track listeners, they're going to get treats in there.
The album is How to Live as Ghosts. The band is 10 years, guys. This has been an absolute pleasure. Any other Monday would be crap, but the fact that you guys came in and hung out with us like all afternoon has been freaking awesome. So thank you so much. I hope everyone gets to hear this album. It's out the 27th, right?
Yes.
Yes, all right. So October 27th, everybody pick it up. Freaking 10 years.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
More episodes of Hard Drive DL at harddriveradio.com. Download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app and keep listening.